Everybody hear me? Okay, good. How many first time attendance here at Pinball Expo? Raise your hands. Okay, that's good. First time attendance. Okay, how many people have ever heard of or have not ever heard of this old pinball, the DVD series? Okay. All right, so a couple people that raised their hand are wise asses. The reason why I ask is because I don't want to just get rolling on this and you're like, you know, who the hell are you? What are you doing up there? Why are you here? So kind of answer those in the short questions. Yes, 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 no. There we go. That's all the answer that's taken care of. Okay, now I get this question. What is going to be the latest or the newest top video? And I had a box here. Where are they?
Over there.
Oh, it's over here. What is the latest, newest, this old pinball video? And everybody's noticed I haven't really answered that question. And the reason is like, we've got a webpage, marvin3m.com/TOP, top. And I kind of put out the videos that we're working on. You know, we're working on, you know, a bunch of different videos. And people email me, oh, I'm really looking forward to this one. I'm really looking forward to that one. And the problem is that sometimes things don't go quite like you planned or as you think they should. And sometimes I'll buy games as a collector and I'll get really geeked up about them, and I'll want to restore them right now. And though I've got this kind of pre-planned order of how things should go in my life, you know, it breaks the pattern. And so things end up a little bit differently than what you had planned. And this disc is one of those adventures. Now, before we start talking about that, though, I got a story on the way up. Me and a buddy of mine were, and you'll see this will kind of link into this whole thing. So it's kind of an interesting story. Me and a buddy are driving up here, and this guy calls me. He's got an electromechanical shuffle alley, you know, a puck bowler. And this guy has been emailing me for 6 months. He can't find anybody to fix it. He lives on the, basically off I-94 on the Illinois-Indiana border inside Indiana. And this thing was, he said his dad got this puck bowler and him and his drunk buddies brought it downstairs and they almost killed each other trying to get the thing in the basement, nearly dropping it on each other. And then, you know, he ended up with it, and this guy was probably 30 years old, and the thing hasn't worked in 3 years, and he had a guy working on it, and the guy came over and looked at it and said, something's wrong with it, I need to get a part, I'll call you back when I get the part. So a month had gone on, he hadn't heard back from the guy. He called the guy, and his wife answered, and his wife said, he's just not going to be available to work on your game anymore. He's dead. So the guy was like, oh, God, the guy died. The only guy I know that can fix this thing, it'll come to my house, he's dead. So he's been bothering me to come fix it. So me and my buddy, he's a solid state tech, we're on the way. You know, he's 2 miles off I-94. We stop by the guy's house. You know, 2 hours later, the game's fixed, and he's, like, ecstatic. The guy is just thrilled. His buddies are calling on the phone. The bowler's fixed! The bowler's fixed! I mean, guys are starting to appear in the basement before we're even out of there. Like, wanting to play the thing. And I asked the guy, what is going on? What, you know, I mean, is it really that popular of a game? And he goes, it's bowling for boobies night. And I'm like, what are you talking about? Bowling for boobies? You know, this is a newer shuffle alley from, you know, newer, I mean, like, early 70s. It's got 6 games, flash, regulation, all strikes, all spares, so on and so forth. And there's no bowling for boobies on the back glass, trust me. Because I looked. And, you know, I said, well, what are you talking about? He goes, well, we get a lot of beer, we get a lot of guys, and we get as many girls as we can think we can get drunk, then we'll come over. And first player's a guy, second player's a girl, third player's a guy, fourth player's a girl, fifth player's a guy, sixth player's a girl. If the guys get 3 strikes in a row, the girls gotta show us their boobies. And if we got 2 strikes and then a girl goes and she gets a strike, it cancels our strikes out. We got to go start back. So my buddy, Mike, asked him, so what happens if the girls get 3 strikes? He goes, who fucking cares, man? We drink. I just thought it was great. Bowling for boobies, man. Anyways, you know, the guy, when we get done, I gave him the bill and he was so thrilled. He tipped me $65. And I'm like, oh, you're nuts. Why are you giving me so much money? He goes, man, you don't understand. Bullet for boobies. But anyways, you know, that's a big story. So over the last year, I've been going to different people's houses and filming their game rooms. And this won't appear on any top video, but we have some people that we've gone and see some really interesting game rooms. And they're electromechanical stuff, but it's really cool stuff. And some of this stuff is pretty valuable. You know, you think, you know, a lot of you solid state guys, you pinheads, you think medieval madnesses are $7,000. It's a lot of money. That doesn't compare to a lot of the stuff that I'm about to show you. So here, let me get this rolling. And I also contracted a special guest to kind of help me with this. And you're going to think this is really weird. This is like talking in the third person. But you'll see what I'm saying in just a second. But we're going to first show some game rooms here. And this was kind of a dream of Norm, too, to put out a game room video. So since he's not here, I'm kind of in the honor. So here's my friend. He's going to help me here. Hey, you mind? Do you think we can get started here?
Yeah, we can get started.
Ball rolling?
Yeah, we got the ball rolling. Come on, man.
I heard you're going to show some game rooms.
We are. We're going to show Burke's game room first.
Rob Burke. The guy that's stealing all the money from our pockets for Pinball Expo?
He's not stealing. No.
Oh, he's not?
No, he's not stealing.
Oh, I'm sorry. I must have mixed him up with Pazak.
Yeah, now Pazak might be. I don't know.
Well, you know, you can say whatever you want about Pazak.
And I got plenty to say about him.
All right, let's just see Burke's crap and let's get on with it, okay?
Here it is. Rob Burke's game room.
Here we are at the Rob Burke house. This is what selling toilet paper for a living can buy you. And our host, semi-host, co-host, is Mr. Lawnhurst. He's going to go and knock on the Lawnhurst door for us, and he's the one that got us here and got us this fine invitation to the Burke
residence. And this is
residence.
What you get for all you pinball fans who pay your $14 a year to go to the pinball show in Chicago. Right here. Thank you very much.
Yeah, Pinball Expo. This is what it buys you.
The sound you hear are the hounds at bay.
Don't let them in. They're pinball people.
They're pinball people. Come on up.
Okay, first off, you all see Rob Burke. He's got a white shirt on and a piss yellow tie. He's wearing a suit. This is what he wears, a pink polo shirt and gray underwear around the house.
The Burke Estate.
Why aren't you here? You should be in
the Burke Estate. They're walking us in, looking all all the Burke kids.
Say hi.
Hi.
Well, here we are. The Burks didn't clean up for our estate. Extra wide stairs for going down into the Burke arcade. And the first thing we notice is a stereo Seabird next to a Whirlybird, next to all kinds of other stuff. Well, he's got it all. He's got it all. He turns all the lights on. Oh, yeah.
Nuh-uh.
What's up with the video games, Mr. Burke? Why do you have video games, too?
Communist.
Is it for the kids?
Yep.
It's for the kids?
Daddy, we gotta be on TV.
Right here.
Okay.
First comment right here. Daddy, are we gonna be on TV? You will hear that you may not hear it. I heard it about 400 times. Here I am walking around with a camera. I mean, I don't look like a camera crew, but I don't look like I'm from TV. But apparently these kids, the Burke kids, think that they're going to be on TV. So just keep this in mind, because it just...
It's a rare item up here.
What, the airplane thing?
Direct, factory fresh.
Dad.
Complete set, never touched by human hands.
Dad.
Hyped by monkeys.
Dad, are we going to be on TV?
On the special next Shaggy video production.
I'm gonna edit out all the parts that you're in though, so that don't get all emotional on me. Oh yeah, he's got the new stuff too. He's got all the new stuff too.
Yeah, hold it right here. What the fuck is that?
I met a guy that, I started with the amusement industry, and I met a guy that does the sideshow posters. So I, at the time, I called Bridget, who's working at the registration table. Okay, guys? Look at that face carefully. So I used to call her Lammy, and all these things that the sideshows say, you know, it's alive, one of a kind. So I had her face with a lamb's body. There's like butterflies in the background. But you can imagine the way you guys react to seeing what her parents did when they gave to her for her birthday. So
you know, as much as this pains me to say, you know, she doesn't look anything like that. She's like a million times better looking than that. That guy should be shot. I thought you were going to say that was like your ex-wife or something.
Yeah, some of the unusual over here.
Okay, that's the bathroom, which is the Burt Employment Office. And you want to mention the other little tidbit you got in there?
Which one? In there. You wanted me to follow it, and I wouldn't do it.
Well, the straight ahead is a very usual vendor there for a quarter. It's a Poo-Tang vendor, which I thought was quite interesting. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, that's what I'm talking
about. So he's got, you know, some money. You know, he's got the standard, the gentle two-player basketball, like 54, the 10 strike, 57, Bolette from 1950, Gottlieb Bolette. He has the very rare Genco Motorama from 57, and a ringer, God knows why he has that. That's a Williams game from the 70s, and that game just sucks. But, you know, apparently, there's a lot of sucky games, actually, in the Burke estate.
Well, looks like a nice Genco. I like that. Did they repaint it for you?
But I don't understand why he has.
Over here, well, in the secret, top secret room?
Yeah.
Oh, you got a Sea Devil. I like Sea Devil.
But it's broken.
Nice space gone. William B.C. Wow, gun game. It's a gun game room.
Big surprise is Peppy the Clown, the dancing marionette. Okay, if anybody knows Rob Burke and you've seen his advertisements, he tries to buy used old fireworks. He has a firework collection. Now, why you would want to collect unexploded explosives and put them, you know, in your basement? Is that like a, you know, yeah, like an accident waiting to happen? I don't know.
The driver sold
this your fatal firework collection. That's James Ultimate Collection.
James what?
Okay. Ultimate Collection.
Yeah, I'm sorry, I don't know too much about that. What's an Ultimate Collection?
Ultimate.
Ultimate. Gotcha. Space Force. From Mars. How many games you got down here, Rob?
Close to 60.
Close to 60. 18-wheeler. So why do you have an 18-wheeler?
Always liked it, and this was a project itself. This came off. The back came off. This
you need a product to get in the house?
This came off. This came off. This came off.
It's an interesting getup you have on, too. A pink polo shirt with gray shorts.
Yep.
Gray champion shorts. And Rob Burke at his casual best. Well, it's an interesting getup basement you have here. How many square feet are down here?
Well, the whole house is 4,200.
Does that include this?
No.
So what's this game here? Why don't you tell me about this Genco? Or not, we didn't say Genco right, did we?
No, we did not.
Okay, say it right.
Remember Gansmark Brothers.
Okay, we'll say it right.
This game,
Genco.
This
Genco.
This game came from John Bellotta. Came brand new to the box about 15 years ago. And as you see, the condition is absolutely mint out.
Minto. No word is that.
Famous, insert the coin. The idea is to get as close to kid at 21 without getting over.
So it's basic roll down game.
Yep.
Now, the interesting thing about this is, who here watched Mike Eddy's presentation on 30 spinballs? Anybody see that here? Okay, like, what's the difference between this game and a 30s pinball when you really come right down to it? Not a hell of a lot.
Probably one of the last ones to...
The balls are bigger, that's
the
difference.
Pinball was big on the roll-down games. And they seem to like them.
According to court, they can put them on the map.
And sort of put them on the map was the roll-down?
Very, very popular. They came out. All right, I got to try, which gives me a 50 points bonus.
Why? Because you're trying to get 21?
Exactly. Without going over.
Gotcha.
So now hit 17 between 21. 17 to 21. And it gives you the corresponding bonus points below.
Interesting. We played this a few times, it looks like.
So ideally, I want the 11 now. 11 is a very tough
one. So is this really a gambling game?
I would say so. We've had many of spirited games.
Spirit, how much money do you want on this thing?
A little win, a little lose.
How many frames are there to play?
Four frames. So that's interesting because even on this one here, the Denko official skill ball, also four frames.
Yes, I've seen that game before.
The game right to the right of it, that kind of green checkerboard game, that's a Genko champion baseball. That I didn't play that. I probably should have. Mr. Burke, does that game work?
Now it does.
Now it does. Good. Good thing I didn't play it because I would have just made fun of them because it wasn't working when I was there. Anyways, that, you know, I was talking about like dollar values of games. That game approaches $10,000. You know, and your Expo dollars bought them.
It's a double.
Single. What is the lower deck and out?
No.
It's single?
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, it is. I see what you're saying.
Look at the body English that man is using.
Yeah. Ooh. Interesting. Wow. Now, did you just get this game?
No, I have for somebody else. Just recently, finally got the thing up. Basically, funny.
Are you a big baseball fan, baseball game fan?
I've always had a fascination for them.
So, it's kind of interesting game room, you know, stuff that you don't normally see. As a matter of fact, that, you know, you'd be hard pressed to find anywhere. Now, the video is going to take a slight turn, and our buddy Shaggy's going to talk about it. Yeah, we're gonna talk about EM ball bowlers, electromechanical ball bowlers, and that's kind of some direction that I took. That's a little bit strange.
Whoa! Wait a second. Since when is this bowler expo?
It's not. It's pinball expo.
Yeah, you're damn right. It's pinball expo, not frickin' bowler expo.
But we're gonna talk about bowlers.
I mean, really, what's the deal with these bowlers? Why are you so in love with all these bowlers?
Well, you'll see in a minute. Just in a minute, you'll see.
You make me go through and do all this crap for you. You know, what am I supposed to think?
Well, you'll see.
Okay, fine. You're right. They're cool. They're really cool. But, you know, these people, they're just not going to get it.
Yeah, they will. They're smarter than that.
Remember, this is the same damn audience that thinks that Wayne idiot in Australia is making brand new medieval Mantises and Cactus Canyons. It gave him money to do it, too. That guy's vacationing in the Bahamas right now.
Yeah, with a blonde in one arm and a brunette in the other.
Fine. Show us some damn bowlers. Let's just get on with it, okay? I mean, you know, here we are, Bowler Expo. Yeah.
Come on, let's go.
I know. It's a cool coin-op thing that most people have never seen before, and people with pinballitis are very tunnel visioned, and this will help them widen their eyes. And they should definitely buy that video too, because I fucking worked hard on that goddamn thing since freaking for 4 straight months every day being your damn slave.
As you should be.
I don't have all day. I got a date with Dandy. If you know what I mean, let's get rolling.
Here we go. Okay, so now, the new top video is about restoring ball bowlers. And we go through not only restoring ball bowlers, we also show the history of ball bowlers and all different kinds of ball bowlers. I have a webpage at marvin3m.com/bowl that shows a lot of ball bowlers, and I get questions all the time from people, you know, what's this bowler all about? What's that bowler all about? And the new video shows 20 different ball bowlers, 20 different styles of ball bowlers, and also we go to a lot of different guys' houses to show ball bowlers. To give an example, okay, if you're going to think of a star pinball guy that would have a ball bowler, I mean, what name would come up? I mean, who do you think is in this room that has a ball bowler that you just wouldn't expect? Anybody? Larry DeMar. Larry DeMar has a ball bowler, and you can't pry the damn thing from his hands. I was the one that set him up with the ball bowler, and Duncan Brown, who also works with Larry, went and picked it up. And when Duncan got it and told me the story of the thing, I'm like, I got to have it. And Duncan's like, you can't have it. I'm like, well, what do you mean? And he said, well, you know, we got it set up in the office, and you can't have it. I said, but it's my bowler. And Duncan's like, well, it's not your bowler now. So anyways, here's a bowler I picked up that was just a couple miles from my house. You can see it's in pretty awful condition. How many smokers do we have in the room? How many people smoke? Come on, raise your hand. Fuck you all. Look at the sides of that thing. They're like, you see that brown? That, unbelievable. I mean, that's all just nicotine, and I'll show you. Like, here's the side of the cabinet before I really did anything to it. And here's the side after I sprayed some cleaners on it. That was all nicotine. And look at the back. The back is still brown. Okay, the back is still brown. And then here's the back after I attempted to get that crap off and the other side. So, I mean, this thing was disgusting. It was like a big brown turd is what it was. And you can see right there, look, you can see where the right leg was attached. See how white and blue it is? That's where the leg was. Okay, now when I got this game, it had been sitting in this guy's garage for 5 years. He had got it from a bar that his dad owned or something, and they closed the bar. It sat just like that, and the white didn't fade or get yellowed or anything, just sitting in his garage. So my conclusion is smoking, bad for your lungs and your ball bowlers. And other coin-op games. So there it is after it's been cleaned. And there I'm using, you can see that product in the upper right. It's something, you know, Norm likes to use Mean Green. This is like the next step up. It's called Totally Awesome, another dollar store product. I'll show you some more of that. It comes in some different flavors. Here I've sprayed it on there, and it's kind of like oozing the brown crap off. I mean, this game was so disgusting when I got it. When I gave the guy the $200 or $300, whatever it was, I was sick to myself thinking I was overpaying. Here's the cleaners. Like, the Mean Green is what Norm likes, but that, in this case, wouldn't touch the nicotine on this thing. The two products in the center is what I ultimately used. In particular, the one on the left, the Piss Yellow, Totally Awesome. It's actually a carpet cleaner for carpet cleaner guys, but it works really, really good. Now, that bathroom cleaner, it looks like Dow bathroom cleaner, but it's not. It's DG, Dollar General. And that, just that exact brand, it kicks Dow's ass. I mean, this stuff, you spray it on pins or whatever, and it takes the nicotine right off. I mean, it was amazing. And you use the Dow, and it doesn't do a damn thing. So, you know, sometimes commercial products come in different flavors, and the dollar store ones are sometimes better than the more expensive stuff, which kind of is amazing. Now, here's the front lane section. Now, you know, they're getting ready to be cleaned up. And again, spraying it with some Mean Green. I got to vacuum the bottom. Those are all little spider egg nests or something from the guy's garage. And then there's the other side again with the awesome sitting there. And I use different products. Sometimes different things do different things, you know, react differently to nicotine, even on the same game, just depending on how it, you know, I don't know how it was treated or, you know, cigars or whatever. Here's the front lane section all dirty, and there it is after a little bit of total. I used Totally Awesome on this, the Piss Yellow stuff. There's the front lane section, kind of getting ready. I got it half taken apart on the bottom edge. And then here's after I repainted the coin doors. I was doing this real quick. I normally would re-chrome those chrome rods on the left, but I didn't do it. Now, on this one, I set the game up for free play so that I could press the coin return button. That switch kind of sitting on top there with the big PVC wires going to it. When you press the coin return button, it puts a credit on the game so I don't have to put money in it because there's no credit unit to set the thing for free play. So I just do that. Now, of course, you don't ever get legs when you buy bowlers. I don't know what happens to them. They disappear. This guy actually had two legs, the one in the middle left and bottom left. Or I should say bottom center, came with the game. The one on the right I actually made from a 2x8, and then the one on the top came from another bowler. I needed four legs. You know, you do what you got to do. And then I put wheels on them because pushing bowlers around on wheels is a lot easier than not pushing them around on leg levelers. So now it's starting to get somewhere. There's the bottom board where all the rollover switches are. You've got to go through all that, go through all the switches, make sure they're all intact and that the rollovers are actually not broken. A lot of times the mechanism that actually activates the switch breaks. So now the thing's starting to come together. Now I'm vacuuming out the mouse hole. This is where the wiring harness goes through the length of the alley. Mice love to get in there and live their little dirty lives. And then checking out the connector, a lot of times the wires get severed, in that case it was. Here it is, now I got the front and back lane sections put together, it's starting to look like something. This is the pin rack. The pins are removed, but I'm trying to clean it up at this point. All those little black pads are actually foam. And you gotta have that, I just use weather stripping that I buy at Home Depot, because when the pins retract, it hits that foam. And if the foam isn't there or it's hardened right out, the pins will crack. These are just a menagerie of different pins I had laying around. The ones that were originally on there, every one of them was broken. We'll talk about that a little bit more in another shot. So here they are, the menagerie of pins. I put all the crappy ones in the back so you can't see them so much. This is how you would look at it, you know, if you were bowling. Now here's the pin reset motor. The blue arrows are the two screws that I take off. And then that whole kind of mechanism comes off, and that holds the armature, which is pointed to by the red arrow. On the pin decks, this is what resets all the pins. So every frame, this motor turns to reset all the pins. And what happens is that armature gets gummed up or gets dirty, or some idiot sprays it with WD-40, and it won't slide back and forth because what it is it's a brake. As the armature, or as the motor engages, it pulls that armature towards the back side of the picture, and that engages a set of teeth, which actually turns the motor, that when the power is disengaged, it slides back, and then the motor can continue to coast without actually turning anything. So if that doesn't work, a lot of times the motors will overspin, and they'll constantly reset the pins, and eventually burn out the motors. So you always got to clean that up. And make sure that is all. I just clean it with denatured alcohol or any kind of alcohol, actually. Now here's the pin, the ball pit. All the blue arrows are rubber that you're gonna have to replace. In this game, it's all replaced. So at the ball comes, this is like the back area where the ball comes in and it hits that like trough. All that rubber has to be replaced, or you'll just scratch the balls to hell. Actually, you'll gouge the balls. There's kind of another angle from it with the new rubber. The red rubber is the stock existing rubber, just cleaned up. Now here's the electromechanical part of the game. This game has 14 stepper units and 18 score reels. Now if you've ever worked on a pinball, maybe a pinball machine, an electromechanical pinball, maybe it has three, maybe four steppers, 14. This particular one is a dual layer stepper, which means that it's actually two steppers built into one unit. So really, there's two of those. So really, there's 16 steppers. And the grease that they used to lubricate this originally from the factory like turns to a gel. So none of these things tend to work or reset or step up. So you got to take them all apart and clean everything. And that's where, you know, it takes a little bit of time. So there shows like how many of each style of stepper is used. Here's the back door. There's the score motor in the upper right. There's some steppers across the upper top of the picture, the transformer, the reset bank across the bottom, and some other miscellaneous relays. All that stuff's got to be given at least a visual inspection. Here's the part with the score reels. There's your 18 score reels and some more stepper units. The upper middle of the page is four, and then below is a bunch of other ones. You got to go through all those too. As you can see, this is a fair amount of work to make, you know, to bring a bowler back to life. Here's the Flash-O-Matic panel. Ball bowlers have this funny thing. This particular game uses 4.5-inch composite balls. When you're drunk and you're at a bar and you got these balls, you like to throw them, and not necessarily where they should be thrown. And what happened is you can actually see a hole in that one. Not only is it broken in half, there's a hole in it for some drunk idiot throwing the ball, you know, 3 feet in the air. So Mike Doom is a guy that restores ball bowlers in Indiana. He actually remakes the lower panel brand new ones so you can buy them because they are very often broken. It's real, real common. Now, you think that was bad. That thing was just up maybe 3 feet off the deck. There it is. There's a new one installed. It looks pretty nice. I mean, you know, he didn't silkscreen them. Here's the back glass panel where the back glass would be installed. See the menagerie of light bulbs. But here, now that is the center top of the back glass. That is basically a hole from some idiot throwing a ball overhand at the ball bowler. And I mean, this is 6 feet in the air. You got to be really drunk to be doing that. So again, I went to Mike Doom. He has an excess inventory of bowler back glasses, and here's one that he sold me for a reasonable price that doesn't have any cracks. So yeah, it really, really makes it look nice. And there it is, kind of all put together. You can see this game is starting to come together and turn itself into a real genuine game. And here it is, done as far as I was willing to take it at that point. I just wanted to play the damn thing. This was basically a week's worth of solid work. And that was from somebody that's done a number of bowlers before, so I could probably do it faster than the normal individual. Here's kind of a lineup. The one that we just went through on the slideshow is the one on the left. The one in the kind of center, as it may be, is one that we restore on the this old pinball video. And then the two on the right are just some other miscellaneous ones. And then on the far right, you can barely see it, is a shuffle alley, which I got for free, so that's why it's there, because shuffle alleys are for pussies.
How about you show us a few of these bowlers actually working? You do all this wrenching on it, and, you know, what does it get you? I want to see one of these suckers working, man. Come on.
I got to show the bowlerama right now, Shaggy.
Yeah, show the people.
Bowlerama.
Show them that bowlerama thing, man. That one's pretty cool. That they only made in 1960 is the United Bowlerama. It is a true contact bowler. It's basically, if you've seen the mannequin bowler, 10 pins or 10 strikes by Williams, this is the full-size version of that, where you are the mannequin, and you're actually rolling the ball and actually hitting the pins that retract on lines, just like the 10 strike. It's an amazing bowler.
Let me start by saying that you have different bowlers than usual ones. It's not the United basic ones like I have, and the other later ones were more similar. This one is a unique one, like you mentioned.
Yeah, here, we'll hit the reset on this one. You can see the pins look a little different. They're right on the lane. I mean, the ball doesn't roll over them or under them. The ball rolls right on them. Watch. I'm actually hitting the pins on this guy. Okay, I mean, this is real bowling. And this is only in the NBA and the Bowlerama.
This game only comes 20 feet in length or longer, okay? So this is a monster. In restored condition, the last three of these that I have seen sold in excess of $9,000 each. Themselves are kind of like a rubberish material with a fiberglass belt around here. This is where the ball hits. Here's a broken pin that somebody tried to fix with duct tape. You can see the rubber material is hollow for the pin, and it just breaks right off at the neck. The game knows if a pin is hit because there's actually a magnet in the bottom of the pin, and then underneath the lane there's a little metal cup. You can hear the cup come up and down. Just listen. As soon as a pin is hit, a switch opens up, pulls a relay in the back, telling the game that that particular pin is hit.
And then when the relay pulls in on the reset bank, it pulls in this coil, which releases the pin up.
Here's the pin center from the back of the game. It goes through this cabling here down to below where there's motor that actually resets the pins. Now here's the grand bowl. So the Bowlerama is pretty unique in that they really only made that game in 1960, and that was the only game that used that style of pins. I have a web page on it, and it's interesting that I got an email from a guy whose dad actually worked for United and designed this game, and he did some web search. You know, he knew his dad designed a Bowlerama, and he found me. This guy was just thrilled. He was like, "Man, if you got any questions, you just call me. This is my dad's dad now. Man, this is like his legacy. This thing was awesome." And he's right. I mean, it's like a real bowling alley. People play that thing, and then they play the other bowlers. They're like, "No, give me the Bowlerama." Of course, because, you know, and the mine isn't actually even restored. Some idiot repainted it when I bought it. And one thing you'll see, I'm not real big on repainting games. I kind of have this philosophy that, you know, once a game is repainted, it's repainted. I don't care how well it's been done. It's just, I think if it has more original paint than is missing, I think you should just leave it the hell alone. Because once it's repainted, that's it. The party's over. I don't care how good a job you did. It's not going to be the same construction style, technique, materials. Nothing's the same. You know, even if it looks great, it's still
repainted. The same style of bowler as the one we're restoring, the Grand Spare Light. You can see that the pins are above the lane. This one actually has a segregation between the pin and the ball, and it switches on as a roll under instead of a roll over. And you can see that this game has six different games. I can select the game, Beat the Champ, Flashmatic. That's the one that you're going to use the most, the Flashmatic. Striker, Spare, or Bust, Dual Flash, or Three Star. Like I said, the only two you're really going to play is Regulation or Flashmatic. This game doesn't matter how hard you throw the ball. It's all about accuracy. Okay, now I started the game, and I'm going to select Flashmatic. And you can see the light's going across the strike and spare. I want to time my shot so that that light is in the middle so I can get, if I get a strike, I get 80 points, a spare, I get 60. If I get neither, I just get 1 point per pin. So I'm going to try and time it. Okay, here we go. Okay, I got it dead nuts, but I didn't get the strike. So let's see if I can get the spare and get 60 points. No. So all I got was 8 points. I'm going to try it again. Try and time my shot. Yes! Can you hear it ding off 8 times? It dings off ding for every 10 points. This is known as a roll-down bowler. You can see it looks just like a shuffle alley of this era. There's really only a couple differences. First, it uses balls. These are 3-inch balls. And also, the lane is actually angled down. So if I put a ball on here, and let it go, it rolls back towards the pins. And that's why it's called a roll down. And then it has a ball lift motor, which returns the ball down, just like a ball roller, back to the player. So really, it's a shuffle alley frame and construction and circuitry with an added ball lift motor.
There's no gutters, just like a shuffle alley, so you can bank your shots up the sides. You can just drop the ball down the lane, but most people are actually going to throw the ball down the lane. Now, I find this particular game pretty easy to get strikes. And you can see the balls roll back, and the ball roller, it's like a 9-foot ball roller is what it is. Kind of cool. This is the wedge-style hood that United had gone to. Instead of having the nose hood, where the nose always broke, they went to this wedge style with a pin indicator here showing which pins are up and down. It also has a 1 and 2 showing that this is the first ball of the frame and the second ball of the frame. We've got a bonus game, and what it is a...
I don't know if you noticed, but that pin hood glass was cracked. Once again, balls seem to be the enemy of game owners and bars because people just throw them like baseballs.
Here you've got a little score reel that isn't really a score reel, but this is a stepper unit that has bonus numbers on it. You get a strike, the bonus increments up 2 levels. At the end of the game, it'll actually count this backwards and give you a bonus like on a pinball machine and add it to your score. Lineup is a flash-style game. Little grid which shows the numbers that you've actually accumulated. So when I throw the ball, it'll light up one of the numbers in that grid.
So I locked it on 2, and you can see that number 2 is lit on the grid. So if I get 3 in a line, that means I get 1. I have 3 in a line, I'll get more points than if I get 2 in a line, like if I got another 3. So all you're doing is trying to complete this little tic-tac-toe matrix. Right again. So now I got a strike. So I got a strike on the 5. The pair of 5s are lit, but notice the pins are still all up. And it's saying right here, full again. So what it wants me to do is take another shot. All I'm doing is trying to time my shot to line up on a number, preferably 1, to get 3 in a line. But obviously I don't have to be accurate at all because the pins are all up. So I have to get 3 at a time, and I got it. 1. And I got 3 in a line. So I get more points when I do that. It's kind of a weird flash system. It's a little more complicated. Personally, I don't like it nearly as much as the regular flash. So you have an awesome piece and you have 4 balls. It's not a bad game. But let me tell you, this is not like a ball bowler. This is really like a shuffle alley. Here's a bowler made in 1958 by United called the Midget Alley. It's kind of a ball bowler shuffle alley combination. It uses 2-inch balls, and it has a really unique system to propel the ball down the alley. Now, the alley is completely enclosed in glass, so you can't touch the ball, and it's a little longer than a pinball machine, but not a lot longer. Let's play a game. I'll show you how it works. It's really unique, and by the way, this is a contact bowler, which means the balls do hit the pins. Let's go ahead and start a game. Now here's the ball delivery area at the front of the game. See, I have a control here to aim the ball, and I have a button here to launch the ball. And I know it's not completely obvious, but that ball is spinning. So what it is it's an AC motor that's spinning that ball at about 300 RPMs. And when I press this button, what it does is it uses a rectifier to convert the AC voltage to DC. But when you put DC voltage on an AC motor, what it does is it stops the motor on a dime. And this causes the ball, which is spinning, to do a spin out. You can see the traction marks left right here on the metal where the ball does is like a burnout and launches the ball down the alley. Now, the key to this game is you have to have new balls, brand new balls. A lot of people complain this game isn't very accurate. A la contraire. This game is extremely accurate if you have new balls that aren't all damaged. So I'm going to try and aim this and take a shot, and you can see the burnout. And then it automatically delivers me another ball. It uses 2 of these 2-inch balls. Let's see if I can pick up the spare. Yep, got the spare. So it's a really cool system. I mean, it's actually an incredible amount of fun. There's one other unique feature on this game. Say that you cherry it out and you find the sweet spot where you're always going to get a strike. So what you do is you just hold the lever in that strike position, but the game won't let you. This turret actually has a motor in it between frames. It actually moves the turret. So if you find the strike position right in the dead center, like say that, you get a strike every time, the motor will actually from frame to frame spin and change the position that you were holding. See, like right there, see it? You can see it, and you can see the motor take it over between frames. Let's see if I can do it again. See? Look at that. Now, I did not move that lever, and the game motor moved it over, so I have to re-aim my strike to try and reposition it. That way, unlike, say, a 10 strike or something, it's not going to let you keep the ball in the same place and just keep getting strike after strike. Now this is a really cool game. I mean, this is like baseball and bowling put basically
together.
A mix of skee ball, which is a type of bowling, and a shuffle alley, which is another type of bowling, but it uses a baseball theme, so there's no pins. It uses a puck, just like any of our shuffle alley games would use. And the object is to send it down the lane, and there's like a little ski jump here. And as it hits the ski jump, it goes up in the air and hits this kind of like ski ball target array. Now on this game, it's called United Fifth Inning, and that means that the game plays for 5 innings, and you get 3 shots per inning. Now the object is to just get as many men around the bases and to home plate as possible. And in this game, there's a baseball running man unit with little rubberized men that actually run the bases. Now, the way the game scores is in the first inning, each run is worth 1 point. And then it goes up. Fourth inning, each run is worth 4 points. And in the last or fifth inning, each run is worth 10 points.
Start a game. Okay, so what were the United guys thinking here? Okay, let's take bowling, mix it with baseball and shuffle alley, and put some chicks in shorts on the back glass. Yeah, that'll sell. Yeah, that'll really sell.
Now you hear that motor. What that is a giant canvas bell, which actually returns the puck to the player. Got a double. Single. The worst I can ever get is a single. See, I got a single. Now you can hear it. It's what it does is now it's changing innings. It's clearing all the men off the play field. You can hear the conveyor belt return the puck to me. And also there's a turnoff switch. As the puck comes through, it turns off the motor, so the motor isn't running all the time. Triple. Woo-dah. Another triple. Got it like that. Let's see if I can get a homer. Yes! Home run! Who's your daddy? I'll show you how the conveyor belt works. I'll put the puck on the conveyor belt and I'll hit the puck relay. And then when it hits this limit switch right here, it automatically turns the puck relay off. But here I have a late 1957 Chicago Point TV bowling league. This was Chicago Point's third ball bowler they ever made. It uses 4.5-inch balls, and it's also a contact bowler. They only make contact bowlers in 1957 and 1958. You'll notice on the lane, there are no switches. As the ball approaches the pin, it wheels back a couple inches, and it activates a set of switches up here, and then a relay pulls in, and the relay bank in the back, and then another relay right above the pin pulls in, which retracts it all the way up. That's how a contact bowler works. A lot of people like contact bowlers because the ball actually hits the pin. Me personally, I think that's a bunch of crap. I don't see the big deal with contact bowlers. As a matter of fact, they're a headache. If you look at every one of these pins, they're broken. You can't really find replacements for a very good price. Yeah, I see people selling harder pins, but that'll last about 2 games and they'll be broken. You need these soft rubber ones, and there really isn't a lot of good places to get those other than used ones.
Passes the pins, it must hit this rubber flap and pushes the flap up, which in turn closes a pair of switches that tells the game that the ball has passed all the pins and to score everything properly. Now, if that piece of rubber down there is beat, and believe me, it usually is, a contact bowler will never work.
Also, there is a slight pause in how the game works. If there's a lane switch, it's right before the pin. So the ball hits the lane switch, and as the ball almost hits the pin, or just hits the pin fully retracts. That's on a non-contact bowler. On a contact bowler, the ball actually has to hit the pin. It has to go back a little bit. Then the game has to realize that that pin's been hit. Then the game has to tell it to retract the pin. It's almost like a stuttered effect. You can see the slight delay. It doesn't look as natural to me. Also, they play different. They have a different feel to them than the games with lane switches. I just personally like games with lane switches better. I just like how they play and how they feel. Watch the pins and how they work. Thank you. Norm's not around, I take the bowlers out for a drive. They're great go-karts, man. I just put my steering wheel on, and I take them for a little ride.
Show you the bowler he stole out from under me. Okay, what was that pinball machine? I'll give you a free disc. I'll give you a free pair of discs. That pinball machine that was just in that video. What was it? It's a classic Gottlieb. Which one? No? Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. Who? What? No? God, you guys are not pinheads. Come on. Who said Central Park? Right there, you got it. You the man!
Or were you just guessing?
No, I'm looking for a monkey for one. Someone took my monkey.
Alright, you got some piss coming.
VA, United's bonus bowling alley, ball bowler. It was being sold in the Chicago area near where I work. And I went over there, and it was a couple of kids, a son and daughter of some parents who had finally died. They were trying to close out the family estate and sell the house. And there in the basement was this ball bowler. And as the story goes, their father owned a company that made wiring harnesses for United. And in 1958, around Christmas time, this big truck pulled up, and a whole bunch of men unloaded this ball bowler and brought it into their basement. It was a Christmas present for the family from United. So they all had great fun with it, played it for years. Eventually it kind of stopped working very well, and they got older, and it had just been sitting for years and years. And it took a lot of work to bring it back to life. There was some warping in the alley because of the dampness of the basement. All 18 score reels were seized up solid from old grease. But underneath it all, it's a very nice ball bowler. Fairly basic. It's got a feature where you can have the kind of 10th frame scoring where you get the extra ball and can get up to three strikes. You can have that several spots in the game. And it's got a extra strike frame light that light up there, and a normal strike frame light. We've currently got it set just to bowl normally. A little bit of breakage right here. The normal way they cut that wood and took just about all of the way to make the curve that ended up breaking. Let's try bowling some.
Separate pin deck with the pins on top of that little mini pin deck. I like this style over here. The roll under switches, less maintenance. The pins never get broken on this style because they're never touched by the ball. It looks a lot cleaner. I can't see all these rollover switches. I also can't see the ball pit behind it. Also, people can't spill beer in the rollover switches. Over here on this Majestic, I had to replace every one of the pins. They were smoked, beat, broken to death because people throw the balls too fast. It's really where Chicago Point ended up, and that was with the standard style rollover switches where the ball hits the bottom of the pins if you throw it really fast. So you may wonder why this video centers on ball bowlers and not shuffle alleys. Well, it's simple, because ball bowlers are a lot more fun than shuffle alleys. And really, from a restoration point of view, they're identical. I mean, the way they work, the pin set unit, the score reels, the scoring mechanisms, everything is pretty much the same between a ball bowler and a shuffle alley. The only difference is a ball bowler has one added thing, that's the ball lift motor, which lifts the ball up and allows the ball to roll back to the player. Shuffle alleys obviously don't have that. So if you're going to go through all this work to restore a machine, why not get a ball bowler that's worth twice as much and is twice as much fun opposed to a shuffle alley? If you're going to do it, you might as well do it big and get yourself a ball bowler. There's nothing like bringing a ball bowler back from death, because these games are big and huge, but when you get done and you throw that first game, there's no feeling like it. I mean, this blows away any restoration on pinballs. This is like the upper echelon of coin-op collectibles and stuff that you will have in your basement that people will walk by. All your pinball machines, your Dragonettes, your Knockouts, all that stuff, your Medieval Madness, they'll go right for your ball bowler. They'll play that all night, too. The impact that a ball bowler makes on people is just unbelievable. I mean, they are awesome, not only in size, but playability and fun. Everybody knows how to bowl. Not everybody knows all the ins and outs of Dragonette, or Knockout, or Bank-A-Ball, or Medieval Madness, or Theater of Magic, but they sure know how to bowl. Everybody knows how to bowl. So get yourself a ball bowler and restore that sucker. Before Shaggy goes off at the mouth here, just to kind of give you an idea, ball bowlers are readily available. I mean, because most people that have them in their basements, they've had them in their basements for 10, 20, 30 years, and they're usually a heaping, smelling pile like that one I just went through and showed you how ugly it was. That was in a guy's garage, and he had stacks of hay under, you know, holding it up, and, you know, you had fertilizer, you know, on top of it. It was just kind of in his way. And most ball bowlers are like that, and you could buy them for, you know, very little money. Duncan, how much did you pay for that home use only ball bowler?
$150.
I want my fucking bowler back, you dog. You too, Larry. Oh, Larry left. He got embarrassed.
I recall your phone call was, I've got the ball bowler and I don't want it. Do you want it?
No, that's not quite how I went. That's not what I remember. Yeah. Yeah, and there was supposed to be a ball bowler here. Okay, there's 200, Pazak, are you in here? He left too, he's too embarrassed. There's like 250 pinball machines upstairs. Okay, why isn't there any ball bowlers? There isn't any. So I had some friends, so-called friends, and I called them up and said, look, I know you guys got a trailer, a big-ass trailer, and you're bringing 8 pinball machines. Why don't you just forget 4 of those pinball machines and we'll load a ball bowler in there. There won't be any ball bowlers at the show. 4 pinball machines at the show, you know, nobody's going to miss that crap. You know, come on, let's bring a ball bowler. Oh, no. I'm going to bring my game for Pin Brawl. I'm going to bring my Space Mission. They only made 15,000 of them. It's the most common Kordak machine in the world, and everybody's played one. You know, how many? There'll be a dozen of them there, but I'm going to have one more. You know, so come on, let's bring a ball bowler, because, like, a lot of people have never, ever seen a ball bowler, much less played one, but these guys, I just... You know, so-called friends just wouldn't help me out. Just wouldn't help me out.
Look at how we saved your back.
Why don't you quit teasing these guys and show them Danny? That's why they're all damn here. They don't give a rat's ass about me or you.
Well, Danny's coming.
She's a hot babe, man. They saw Candy, her sister, at last year's expo. Saw a lot of her. They want the same treatment to Dandy, the bowler girl.
Well, here she comes. You know, she is a hot babe.
You were a little skinnier, a little younger, and had a little hair. Ha! I bet you could get yourself a gal like Danny and Candy. Like, who? Me do.
Yeah, kind of unlikely I could get anybody like that.
Sure. Quit teasing them. So we got the bowler all running.
Okay. Are there any kids in here? If you are, you gotta leave. Okay, here's another thing. Are there any women in here? If there is, my question is, why? Go home, please.
And Dandy, who is Candy's sister, is gonna help us test the machine, right? We're gonna let her bowl a few frames and we're just gonna watch as she tests the machine. Why don't you go ahead and hit that coin return button there and have her start it. I'm gonna set you up for Flash, because that's my favorite game.
Okay, look at that sick pervert with the camera in the background.
That means you gotta try to find your shot. You know, you see what they're... Yeah, whatever, you'll figure it out.
I'll figure it out.
Yeah, you do it. You do it. Just keep pounding those balls.
Pounding them? Why pound them, all right? Oh, it's gonna get warmed up here.
Another sick pervert with a camera.
Time stands straight! These balls are so big and hard. And they're heavy too. Woo! I got a strike, baby, yeah!
Okay, I should point out that what you're about to see isn't on the top video. This is like the unedited, longer version. Just, you know, if you think it goes on and on, that's why we didn't actually put this in the real life video. So it's just for you guys. I love that goofy giggle she has.
Oops. Grab it.
You get all the girls.
I hope you like this year's presentation of Norman Shaggy's show at Pinball Expo 2006. Believe it or not, we actually work hard on this crap. I mean, it may not look like it, but it consumes a large part of our lives, and for what, a measly $8 DVD. Exactly. You know, I mean, you gotta get it. But anyways, thanks for coming. We all appreciate it. The ugly mofo right here will usher you out. Take care.
You guys got any questions?
No.
I'm sorry, it wasn't quite as sexy as last year, but Andy, that's Candy's sister. So you guys got any questions? Any questions? No questions?
You are selling.
Yes, we are selling the DVDs starting right now in the room in the Payzac Hall of Shame. We're selling the DVDs, and I have a few complimentary copies. If you're really a cheap ass, you can come up here, and if you say nice things to me, I'll give you one. Yeah, so I've got a couple here. I've got the Bonsai Wars one, which was the one we did last year, and I've got the bowling one this year.
If you traditionally buy the videos, I would say don't come up here and ask for a free one. But if you've like never seen this old pinball before, or you know you're not really an EM collector, and you know you would never buy a bowling video, or you think you'd never buy one, you know I'd be happy to give you one. I've got a few up here for excessively cheap people. Like, look, Mr. Burke, he's coming up here to claim his. Okay, here you go, Mr. Burke. You're a freebie.